If you try to learn generative AI today by, just typing questions into YouTube, you are statistically guaranteed to burn out in like, what, about 3 weeks?
Oh, easily. 3 weeks might even be generous, honestly.
Right, because you open up your browser and instead of a clear path, you are just hit with this massive tidal wave of conflicting advice.
Yeah, it's total chaos.
It really is. I mean, one video insists you need to build a neural network from scratch in C++ ways, and then the very next one says, you only need to know how to write a good chat prompt. It's the absolute definition of information overload.
Which is incredibly demoralizing for a learner. I mean, you end up with what is essentially educational whiplash.
Educational whiplash, I like that.
Yeah, you spend hours watching these complex lectures on transformer architectures, and then the very next day, you find yourself completely stuck just trying to write a basic loop in Python.
And that is exactly why we're here today. If you're listening to this, you are probably eager to understand this whole exploding world of artificial intelligence.
Right.
Maybe you need to upskill for your career, or maybe you're just driven by an intense curiosity about how all this technology actually works behind the scenes, but you're hitting that wall of information overload. So our mission today is to cut through that noise entirely. We want to eliminate your decision fatigue.
Exactly. We are going to build a mental framework.
Yeah.
Because learning AI isn't about, memorizing random coding tricks.
Right.
It's about following a very specific logical progression where each concept heavily relies on the one right before it.
So today we are unpacking a highly comprehensive document. It was published in March 2026 by Generative AI Masters, and it's titled The Generative AI Roadmap 2026.
A fantastic resource.
It really is. Okay, let's unpack this. Because the core problem this document highlights is the sheer lack of sequence in how people approach this field.
Yeah, sequence is everything.
Right. The source material argues that a good roadmap removes decision fatigue because you literally never have to guess what to study next.
I mean, you wouldn't try to tune the engine of a high-performance race car without first understanding what a carburetor or like a fuel injector does, right?
No, obviously not.
Exactly. So similarly, before you get to the magic of autonomous talking robots and, generating these photorealistic art pieces, you have to lay the technical groundwork.
So where does the roadmap start?
It insists on starting with the absolute basics. Step one is building a mental model of what generative AI actually is.
Right out of the gate, the document makes a really critical distinction between traditional AI and generative AI.
Which a lot of people mix up.
Oh, all the time. Traditional machine learning was essentially like an incredibly fast sorting hat. You feed it a million emails and it predicts whether a new email is spam or not spam.
Yeah, it categorizes things.
Exactly. But generative AI creates completely novel data. It synthesizes new text, new images, new software code that has literally never existed before.
And once you grasp that paradigm shift, you need a tool to actually build these systems. And the roadmap is uncompromising here. Step two is Python.
Python.
Python is the non-negotiable language of AI. But, and this is a massive caveat that saves beginners hundreds of hours, you do not need to become a full-stack software engineer.
I actually found that detail fascinating. Why Python, though? Like, why not JavaScript or C++ out?
Well, Python has basically become the lingua franca of AI simply because of its ecosystem.
Okay, the ecosystem.
Right. Decades ago, the scientific and mathematical communities adopted Python because it reads almost like plain English.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And over time, they built these massive, highly optimized libraries, things like NumPy for heavy numerical calculations and pandas for, manipulating massive spreadsheets of data.
So when modern AI exploded.
Exactly. When it exploded, all the cutting-edge frameworks were just naturally built to interface with Python.
And the roadmap suggests living inside tools like Jupyter Notebooks for this phase.
Yes, heavily emphasizes Jupyter.
Because rather than writing a massive application they have to compile all at once, Jupyter lets you write like 3 lines of code, run them, and instantly see the data visualize on your screen.
It's an incredibly fast feedback loop for learning.
Yeah. And hands-on practice is the only way this actually sticks. The roadmap explicitly warns against just reading syntax. You need to manipulate actual data.
You do, which transitions us smoothly from basic programming into the realm of core machine learning and eventually deep learning. That's steps three and four.
Right. This is where we move from using beginner-friendly tools, like scikit-learn for basic predictions, into the heavy-duty deep learning frameworks like PyTorch or TensorFlow.
Yes, the big guns.
Let me try an analogy here to separate traditional machine learning from deep learning and see if this holds up.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so traditional machine learning feels a bit like a highly efficient filing clerk. You give the clerk labeled data, say, 1,000 photos of houses with their square footage and their sale price, and they organize it perfectly.
Okay, tracking with you.
And they can predict the price of the next house based on these neat little mathematical folders you helped set up.
Right.
But a deep learning neural network, that feels more like a detective.
Oh, I like that. The premise is definitely solid, but let's dig into the mechanism of how that detective actually works.
Please do.
Because a neural network isn't just looking at the final picture all at once. It's layering information. Let's take an image recognition model, specifically a convolutional neural network.
Okay, a CNN.
Yeah, CNN. The first layer of that network doesn't actually know what a dog is. It only looks for basic edges, like light pixels next to dark pixels.
Wow, okay, just edges.
Just edges. Then the next layer takes those edges and looks for shapes, you know, like a curve or a triangle. Then the next layer combines those shapes to recognize a texture, like fur, or an object, like an ear.
So it's building it up piece by piece.
Exactly. By the time you reach the end of the network, it has built this complex, high-level understanding of the entire image.
Okay, that makes the jargon and the roadmap way more digestible. Because speaking of jargon, the text throws around terms like forward pass, error, and backpropagation.
Yeah, heavy terms.
If I'm a beginner, those words sound terrifying.
Totally. But what's fascinating here is that the roadmap explicitly states you don't actually need heavy math up front to understand those terms. You just need the intuition.
Okay, so what's the intuition?
So a forward pass is simply the network taking a guess. It looks at the data, pushes it through all those layers we just talked about, and basically says, I think this is a dog.
And then the error is just the mathematical realization that, oops, the picture was actually a cat.
Exactly. The network quantifies exactly how wrong its guess was.
Yeah.
And that leads to backpropagation.
Backpropagation.
Right. This is the magic of machine learning right here. The network sends a signal backwards through all its layers, and it automatically adjusts the mathematical weights.
Wait, weights? Like dials?
Yeah, exactly. Like tiny dials inside the model.
Yeah.
It adjusts those dials so that the next time it sees that specific image, it is slightly more likely to guess cat.
So it literally learns from its mistakes.
It literally does.
Yeah, it is a brilliant way to demystify it. The text really emphasizes that you cannot meaningfully understand modern AI without grasping how a basic model actually learns from data like that.
No, you really can't. It's foundational.
But once you have that foundation, the roadmap shifts gears entirely. We move away from classifying images or predicting house prices, and we enter the world of large language models.
Yes. Steps 5 and 6, we are finally interacting with the mind of the AI.
And this hinges on a massive technological leap that happened back in 2017, right? The introduction of the transformer architecture.
A huge milestone. Before transformers, models read text sequentially, you know, one word at a time, exactly like a human reading a book.
Which I imagine is terribly slow.
Extremely slow.
And it probably makes the model forget what happened at the beginning of a really long paragraph.
Exactly. It was a massive bottleneck. But transformers solved this through something called the attention mechanism.
The attention mechanism.
Right. Instead of reading word by word, a transformer looks at the entire sentence simultaneously. It calculates mathematically which words are most important to the context.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if it sees the word bank, the attention mechanism looks at the surrounding words. If it sees river nearby, it assigns one meaning. If it sees money, it assigns another. It physically pays attention to context.
Okay, but to even get the text into the model in the first place, the roadmap talks about tokens and embeddings.
Yes.
Now, a token, as I understand it, is just chopping up a word into syllables or chunks that the computer can digest.
Yep, pretty straightforward.
But embeddings are a bit more abstract to me.
They are. Think of an embedding as a massive, multidimensional map of human language.
A map?
Yeah. Because computers do not understand the concept of a dog or a cat. They only understand numbers. So an embedding assigns a precise numerical coordinate to every single word.
Okay, I'm following.
And the beauty of this map is that concepts with similar meanings are physically grouped closer together in this mathematical space.
Oh, so the coordinate for king is mathematically related to the coordinate for queen.
It's pure geometry.
Yeah.
Like, if you take the numerical coordinate for king, subtract the numerical concept of man, and add the numerical concept of woman, you literally arrive at the exact coordinate for queen.
Wait, really? That's mind-blowing.
It is. Embeddings capture the underlying logic of human language purely as math.
That completely reframes how I view these chatbots, which I guess brings us to how we actually talk to them. Step 6, prompt engineering.
Yes, prompt engineering.
The roadmap spends significant time on mastering techniques across models like ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini. But I have to push back a little bit here.
Okay, push away.
Is prompt engineering really a technical skill? I mean, honestly, isn't it just typing questions into a chat window?
A lot of developers initially shared that exact skepticism.
Yeah.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture outlined in the roadmap, prompt engineering is fundamentally about system design.
System design? How so?
Well, when you just type a casual question into a chatbot, you are leaving the model's output entirely up to chance. You're just hoping it guesses the format and the tone you want.
And usually it gives you a bloated generic answer.
Exactly. Professional prompt engineering removes that guesswork. The roadmap highlights something called few-shot prompting.
Few-shot prompting? What's that?
It means you don't just ask for a result. You provide, say, 3 specific examples of the input and the exact desired output formatting.
So you're training it on the fly.
Basically. You are forcing the model's attention down a very narrow path.
Okay. The text also mentions chain of thought reasoning.
Oh, that one is crucial for complex logic.
Really?
Yeah. If you ask an LLM a massive math problem, it'll try to guess the answer in one single step, and it usually hallucinates.
Right, it just makes up a number.
Exactly. Chain of thought prompting literally forces the model to write out its intermediate steps, like step 1, calculate this. Step 2, carry the 1.
Oh, I see.
By generating the tokens for the intermediate steps, the model actually gives itself the context it needs to arrive at the correct final answer. It's a highly technical method of steering probability.
Okay, I definitely see the depth there. But eventually, you hit a wall if you are just typing in a browser window, right? You are just a user.
Yep, you hit the ceiling pretty fast.
So the next major phase of the roadmap takes you behind the curtain to become a builder. That's steps 7, 8, and 9. We start talking about APIs, agents, and RAG.
Moving to APIs is a profound shift. You are no longer using a shiny web interface.
Right.
You are writing Python code that directly talks to the servers at OpenAI or Anthropic.
Yeah.
And because you are bypassing the user interface, you actually gain access to the raw controls of the model.
Controls like temperature.
Yes, temperature is a big one.
The roadmap highlights adjusting the temperature, which, frankly, sounds like we're operating a thermostat. I know it controls creativity, but what is the actual mechanism there?
It all comes back to probability.
Mm.
An LLM is essentially just predicting the next most likely word. If the temperature is set to 0, the model is entirely deterministic.
Meaning what?
Meaning it will always pick the number 1 most mathematically probable word. Every single time. It becomes highly factual and very rigid.
So a temperature of 0 is perfect for like generating code or summarizing a strict legal contract.
Precisely. But if you turn the temperature up, you flatten that probability curve. The model becomes willing to pick the 3rd or 5th or maybe the 10th most likely word.
It introduces randomness.
Yes. And that randomness is what we perceive as creativity when we ask it to write a poem or, you know, brainstorm marketing ideas.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Once you can control the model via code, the roadmap introduces frameworks like LangChain to build AI agents.
Agents of the future, honestly.
We aren't just sending a single prompt anymore. We are giving the model tools. We are writing code that says, hey, AI, here is a goal. Here is a tool to search Google and a tool to run Python code. Go figure it out.
You are creating a loop. The agent thinks, decides it needs more information, uses the web search tool, reads the results, realizes it needs to do some math, writes a Python script, runs it, and then finally gives you the final answer.
It's autonomy.
It is absolute autonomy.
But autonomy has a fatal flaw if the AI doesn't have the right information. Which brings us to what I think is one of the most critical concepts in the entire roadmap.
Retrieval augmented generation.
Yes, or RAGI. Let me explain the why behind Barry using an analogy.
Go for it.
So imagine you force a highly intelligent student to take an exam. Normally, interacting with an LLM is like making that student take a closed book test.
Okay.
They can only rely on what they memorized during their training years ago. If the information is outdated, or if it involves a company's private data that just wasn't on the internet, the student just guesses. They hallucinate.
Right, they make it up.
But RAG changes the rules entirely. RAG gives the AI an open book test. It gives the model a search engine hooked up to your own private library, your company PDFs, your specific HR manuals, right at the exact moment you ask the question.
It's brilliant. But this raises a really important question about how we actually search that private data.
Why is that an issue?
Because traditional SQL databases, you know, the kind that store spreadsheets, they're terrible at this. If you search a traditional database for canine and the document only says dog, a traditional database finds zero results.
Because it relies on exact keyword matches.
Exactly. It has no concept of meaning.
So how does RGAB solve that? The roadmap mentions vector databases, tools like Pinecone, Chroma, or Weaviate.
Remember those embeddings we talked about earlier? The mathematical coordinates for concepts.
Yes.
Right, the map. A vector database stores your private documents as those mathematical coordinates.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So when you ask the agent a question, it converts your question into a coordinate.
Yeah.
The database then performs a geometric similarity search.
Geometric similarity search. So it looks for distances.
Yes. It looks for documents that are physically close to your question in that mathematical space. It retrieves that highly relevant text, pastes it invisibly into your prompt, and basically says to the LLM, answer the user's question, but base it strictly on this provided text.
That is incredibly elegant. It solves the hallucination problem because you are grounding the model in factual context.
Yep.
And it solves the data privacy problem because the model doesn't actually need to be pre-trained on your sensitive documents.
Which is exactly why the roadmap emphasizes that building RAG pipelines is currently the single most in-demand skill in the applied AI industry.
Really? The most in-demand?
By far. It is how enterprises actually get real tangible value out of generative AI.
Okay, so recapping a bit, you have a foundation in Python, you understand how transformers work, you can control the models via API, and you can build agents hooked up to vector databases.
You're doing great at this point.
We are entering the final stretch of the roadmap, the final polish, steps 10 through 12. This covers fine-tuning and real-world deployment. But looking at the text, there is a massive red flag waving over the fine-tuning section.
Oh, huge red flag.
Why do beginners immediately want to jump to fine-tuning, and why does the roadmap call it a trap?
It is a classic beginner's fallacy. People just assume that if a model isn't doing exactly what they want, they need to teach it by retraining it. They think fine-tuning is this magic bullet for adding new knowledge.
Oh, we literally just established that RJAG is the best way to add new knowledge.
Exactly. Fine-tuning is rarely about teaching a model new facts. It is about teaching a model a new form or behavior.
Oh, behavior. Give me an example.
Okay, if you need a model to consistently output highly specific JSON code for some obscure medical database, or, you know, if you need it to perfectly mimic the unique, sarcastic brand voice of your company's Twitter account, that's when you fine-tune.
But the text notes, it is incredibly expensive and complex to do that. Super expensive. It requires massive, highly curated data sets, like thousands of perfect examples of input and output. And if your data set has garbage in it, you will permanently bake that garbage right into the weights of your model.
Yikes. Okay. But the roadmap does mention techniques like LoRA, though. What makes that different?
Right. So LoRAI stands for low-rank adaptation.
Okay.
Instead of taking a massive model like Llama 3 and spending millions of dollars adjusting every single one of its 70 billion parameters, LoRAI essentially freezes the original model.
Freezes it?
Yeah. It locks it down, and it just slides a tiny, easily trainable layer of new parameters right on top of it.
Oh, that's clever.
It mathematically approximates the fine-tuning process. It literally allows you to train a custom model on a single consumer graphics card in an afternoon.
That level of accessibility is just mind-blowing. And before concluding, the roadmap encourages learners to broaden their horizons. You know, look beyond just text generation.
The ecosystem is huge. Right. It includes image generation models like Midjourney, video generation, and AI coding assistants. You need to know what building blocks exist so you can integrate them into your agents.
But all of this theory, all of these tools, it leads to the ultimate hurdle, which the roadmap explicitly warns against.
Tutorial hell.
Tutorial hell.
That's endlessly watching YouTube videos, copying the code exactly as the instructor types it, and feeling like you actually learned something, even though you couldn't build it from scratch if your life depended on it.
Theory without friction is an illusion of competence.
Ooh, say that again.
Theory without friction is an illusion of competence. The roadmap insists that the entire 6 to 12 month journey must culminate in real world deployment. You have to build an actual application, host it on a server somewhere, and just let other people break it.
Because that's when you learn about handling errors and managing API costs and, you know, dealing with the users who type total nonsense into your carefully crafted prompt.
Exactly. Building a functional end-to-end portfolio project like a customer support chatbot securely hooked into a company's database, or maybe an autonomous research agent that synthesizes daily news. that is the only proof that you actually possess the skills outlined in this roadmap.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? The core takeaway from this generative AI roadmap is that the field is vastly more accessible than it appears.
Totally.
You don't need a PhD in advanced calculus, and you don't need a supercomputer in your garage. What you need is rigorous sequence.
Sequence is the secret.
By moving from the absolute basics of Python data manipulation through the mathematical intuition of neural networks and into the applied architecture of agents and vector databases, you eliminate the chaos of YouTube tutorials. You transform a vague desire to learn AI into a highly structured, production-grade engineering skill.
It really demystifies the magic and turns it into mechanics. But, you know, looking closely at the trajectory of this roadmap, specifically those sections on autonomous agents that can plan, reason, and execute their own code, it forces us to consider a rather profound shift on the horizon.
What are you thinking?
Well, right now, this 2026 roadmap is entirely focused on teaching humans how to meticulously wire together Python scripts, APIs, and databases to build a functioning AI agent.
Right.
But as these models become increasingly adept at writing and debugging their own code, we have to ask, will the generative AI roadmap of the 2030s even involve coding?
Oh, wow.
Or will it focus almost entirely on teaching humans the psychology and system management skills required to direct an AI that's actively building and upgrading itself?
Wow. We started this deep dive looking for an instruction manual for this technology, but if these agents continue to evolve, like you're saying, the technology might just start writing the manual for us.
A prospect that is both thrilling and honestly deeply humbling.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the generative AI roadmap. We hope it helped clear the fog. Keep building, keep exploring, and stay curious. Until next time.